Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yes.
Even though the season is over, don't worry. We still got fresh Clippers news for you 5 days a week.
Yeah, I like how much it's been an eventful offseason.
It's been very eventful so far. And, you know, continuing on with the coaching conversation, a new candidate has finally entered consideration.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about him a lot. Sam Cassell was officially interviewed by the front office. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And then we just kind of put out a feeler out there for what people were sort of worried about for this upcoming season. It's something I'm sure that's been on a lot of folks' minds.
Yeah.
But we break down some of those and kind of add our own. And then in shavings, there's some talk from a very unlikable Lakers player. and Trez, you know, still don't know where he's going to end up in free agency, but he is putting in a lot of work in the offseason.
Absolutely.
So all that and more coming up right about now. But first, I just got to mention off top, this is a Rock Auto podcast.
You know it.
We're proud to bring you Clippers news 5 days a week with the support of rockauto.com.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So per Woj, we learned that the Clippers, I would say, finally interviewed Sam Cassell.
Yeah, I think finally is good. Yeah.
On Tuesday. You know, this was another boring Woj tweet. I feel like all his tweets about the Clippers have kind of this funny, you know, you don't see a lot of like, he's a finalist for this. Like, it's all very cut and dry from Woj when it comes to the Clippers. Specifically Clippers team news. Like the Doc tweet.
Well, once again, I mean, this is kind of how this front office prefers to do things.
They told him something, I feel like.
Yeah, it's like pretty straightforward. It's interesting to me just because it seems like, you know, of at least two of the other organizations looking for a head coach, it seems like they're being a lot more forward-facing in sort of those searches.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Pelicans have, you know, I mean, pretty reliably released to writers.
Yeah.
Yeah, like what their sort of final candidates are. And, you know, the Rockets, we have a pretty good idea of how that's all lining up. But this is something that we've been wanting, you know? This is something that we hope for. You know, he's clearly, well, I don't know about clearly, but I would put him in the upper tier of coaches being considered from a development standpoint.
Yeah, definitely. And Doc, you know, Doc mentioned multiple times that Sam Cassell should be a head coach. He also said he paid his dues and all that, which I totally agree with. He has coached the Clippers one game officially in the bubble.
Yeah.
Bit of a weird game.
Yes.
Clippers won 107-103 over the Thunder in overtime. This, of course, was Terrence Mann's 25-14-9 game off the bench, might
love
I
it.
Add. Coffey had 21 points before fouling out, which is great. Joakim played 28 minutes. I think, yeah, Patterson played 38. But he credited Ty Lue in the postgame, like getting him ready for, like, you know, actually stepping into the head coach role.
Definitely.
But, yeah, his resume, I would say, is a little shorter in terms of coaching than some of the other guys. I don't mean that in a bad way. He's just been with two organizations for a pretty long time.
Yeah, which, so I guess there's positives and negatives to both of that. I mean, A, I feel like it just depends on who you're coaching under, right?
Yeah,
and neither definitely. Of these franchises, like, in, I mean, you know, Doc Rivers, obviously a great coach.
Yeah.
But, you know, the success level of either one of these franchises aren't as high as some other names on the resume.
For sure.
But I think you also have to factor in his playing career.
Yeah. Knows how to get it done.
Yes. Yeah. And then, I mean, we saw what he did developmentally with Shea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the John Wall credits him with his development.
Yeah, if you didn't know, Cassell was an assistant coach for the Wizards from 09 to 14.
Yes.
And John Wall himself credits Cassell.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
I mean, I think that's great. I mean, I don't know that we have the personnel to really exploit those talents.
And helps from man a
from
lot.
A development standpoint. Does help man. It does help man, is what I'll say. So, yeah, I don't know. But I do think that he's one of the guys, and this is like a little bit hard to quantify or nebulous.
Yeah.
But definitely part of the reason organizations keep him around for so long is it seems like players genuinely like him.
Yeah, for sure.
They like him being around.
Yeah.
It's I mean, he's the kind of guy that enters a room and he can change the vibe of a room.
Always in positive ways.
Always in a positive way.
But I have no doubt that Angry Sam Cassell is also something that will get you to correct whatever you're doing.
Definitely. Definitely. And he commands respect from other players solely because he's been there as a player, right?
Yeah.
So even if he doesn't have necessarily the head coaching resume, I do think that, you know, he can still have the ear of that locker room because he knows, man.
And he's been with the highest of highs and the lowest of lows when it comes to teams, right? Like, he's got some championships, and he also played for and he was great with the Clippers. But there was, you know, one specific instance against the Suns that still burns in my mind.
Yeah.
That's, you know, different talk for another day. But I mean, yeah, I would like this hire. Is the experimentation there for Cassell to be hired? He spent 6 seasons as an assistant for Doc. So he has, I don't know how this interview goes, but he has a lot to kind of prove how he would be different enough from Doc to get this job.
So that's the flip side, right, of spending time with two organizations, neither of which I would put at the forefront of development. I mean, for a good part of Doc's tenure, obviously, with the Lob City teams, I mean, that basketball was already kind of behind for the time. And then, I mean, the Wizards don't really scream innovation to me.
Yeah, he was, yeah. I mean, and Flip Saunders got fired pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So he also coached under, what was the guy's name? Randy Whitman. So, yeah, there's some interesting... Yeah, that's fair.
But you would think, after seeing someone beat their head against a wall...
That he could show...
That maybe you could show how you could be different or how you could maybe correct some of those errors that the Clippers have faced before.
Yeah. Because that seems to be the root of mostly what Ballmer was upset about.
Yeah.
And I have no, like...
So you're saying presentation-wise, he needs to put it on the table.
Yeah, exactly. Well, presentation-wise, this is hard, right? Because they kind of know Sam Cassell.
Right, yeah.
So, like, he's got to really make a splash.
Yes.
We talked about this a little bit with Dan Craig when we profiled him on an episode. But, you know, I also like that I think Cassell... I think he would definitely be an embrace analytics guy compared to Doc, where it seemed like Doc really didn't have... I'm not saying, you know, and I'm not saying that, like, you have to go by all analytics, that kind of thing. But Doc seemed to have...
needs to be a balance.
Doc seemed to have not a large interest in that.
Definitely. Definitely.
Whereas I think Sam Cassell, because he's seen how organizations can try and rebuild from the coaching perspective, right? He was with the Wizards when they got John Wall, so they obviously weren't doing very well.
Yeah.
So we saw them try and usher that in. The expectations for this team... That's probably a big part of what they're going to ask about him, too. Because, you know, like you said, one thing to be an assistant coach, when you're head coach of the team that has
the
finals expectations, like, things get a little more intense.
I also wonder about the staff that they could put around him. I mean, I would assume if Sam gets moved up, I would think Rex Kalamian would stay, but I don't know. And then...
We don't know if the front office may want to hire a couple people that they have in mind.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they might look for somebody different for the, like, defensive schemes. And then I don't know. You might want to put somebody on the bench who has a little bit more experience. Somebody to help guide him through at least that first season, right?
You would think... That's the other thing. How long... Someone on Twitter was talking about it. They think... Oh, they were saying he's a developmental coach, right? Like, he's kind of the in-between of... We have championship expectations.
Yeah.
But we also believe you can develop. So there's that multi-length contract, you know, the years-wise that you could see.
Yes.
Like, I want to give the next coach 4 years at most.
So I'm torn on this.
Because that's 2 years after maybe we lose Kawhi and PG, so you give them time to kind of see how that goes.
Yeah, so I'm glad that you brought this up because I'm still on the fence of, you know, what a contract offer is going to look like from the Clippers.
Yeah.
You know, I would assume you're just... I really think you'd struggle to get a coach if you're not offering, you know, 4 years.
You would think.
I
wouldn't want to coach a team who's like, we're giving you a 2 year deal.
Yeah.
Or like, second year's a team. I don't think they do that. That'd be crazy.
And like the money, you know, on one hand, the money doesn't matter. Like, we can afford,
for the team.
Yeah. We can be like the Knicks and afford to pay three coaches that no longer coach here.
Yeah.
But I don't like that from just a building a culture, which is something that we still don't have perspective.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
could Sam do that? Yeah.
Having a revolving door of coaches is not something that I want.
Yeah. And it's going to be tough because the expectations are going to be like, well, Doc was here for X amount of years.
Yeah.
So we hope this one's here for at least half.
Yeah.
Seems like it might be hard to luck into two coaches who can do the better part of a decade back to back. But so far, I think the Clipper search is going good.
Yes.
And this Cassell interview kind of gives me, I wasn't worried, but it gives me a little like, oh, that's awesome. Like,
they're certainly given all reasonable candidates a good shake so far.
As well as Jeff Van Gundy. coming up, we're going to be talking Worry Thursdays. This might be our new quarterly segment. But first, Will, auto parts. What's cracking?
So, auto parts can be hard to acquire.
Yes.
But thanks to rockauto.com, it's never been easier. You can go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything you need, whether it's for a classic or just your daily driver. You can get all the parts you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, speaking of prices, they're always reliably low at rockauto.com, and they're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers.
Sick.
Very important. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck or boat. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rock Auto. Welcome to Worry Thursdays.
Ooh, I'm worried.
Ooh, very worried. We asked Clippers fans on Twitter, at Locked On Clips also, if you're not following. It's a fun time over there, I feel like. Cultivate a good vibe. What their biggest worries for next year's Clippers team is, and we got a whole mess of stuff to go over. Kind of three major themes, I feel like. Playoff performance, chemistry, and basically just like mental toughness.
All valid.
All of them were valid. A lot of people worried. Yeah, let's start with playoff performance. A lot of people worried about being up 3-1. A lot of getting past the second round comments. And this was coupled kind of with people being worried like for another bad playoff run with costing Kawhi and PG re-signing.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very real worry. So the thing is, and I feel like we haven't talked about this enough, we don't know exactly what the playoffs are going to look like next year.
Yeah, or the season.
But I would assume that they're going to be not on a neutral ground situation. I think by that point in time, the NBA is going to push to have at least limited fan capacity in home stadiums.
Yeah.
You know, if we're looking at next, you know, September.
Yeah, and a lot of that does maybe kind of depend on also like local and state governments too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But by then, we would hope.
You would think so. But, I mean, there's still so much up in the air.
That's a
good
point.
I think that due to revenue and stuff, they're going to be back to a regular situation. And I say that because, you know, this was a unique situation for the Clippers. Obviously, we have a history of blowing 3-1 leads, but this one is not like any of the other ones.
This one was really frustrating, but yeah.
This one was really frustrating, but I also think that there was a level of fatigue with the team that would not have been so pervasive in a like a regular sort of season or a regular sort of setup.
Yeah.
I do think that you know, mentally and possibly, I mean, obviously physically too, we heard Doc talk about it. A lot of guys hit a wall.
For sure.
And so I think that the getting past the second round thing, you know, we don't know what the West playoffs are going to look like yet, but I think that one, I'm hoping we can kind of alleviate that fear.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, the second round one is definitely a lot more kind of like gets my goat than the 3-1-1.
But being worried about Kawhi and PG, I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm not going to worry about it. This season, I'm coming in with no expectations.
So that's the last point that we're going to talk about, which was a very great theme too. Clipper Spencer had a really good take on this at Clipper Spencer. They said, a slog through the regular season where guys aren't having fun and everyone says we'll turn it on in the playoffs. right? Like, that's a thing where, like, that won't happen again next year, I don't think. But I share this trepidation.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, if we see this again this season, then I'm sorry. I think we have an idea of what the identity of this team is. And at that point, I mean, the chips will fall as they may, you know?
Yeah, then it's like, well, whatever.
If they come in with the same mentality, then I don't know what to tell you. Like, that's...
That's a tough go.
Yeah.
That would be very frustrating. That would be much more frustrating than the 3-1 leads. Joey Lynn had a very personal comment. He said that I'll spend countless hours and sleepless nights making YouTube videos defending the team just for them to turn around and blow a 3-1 lead in the second round.
Well, a lot of 3-1 lead in the second round. I don't think that's going to happen in back-to-back years. I do not see team in normal circumstances blowing a 3-1 lead in which they're up double digits in all the games.
And we no longer have the losingest coach in 3-1 lead history.
Good call.
Which would be Doc Rivers.
Drastic changes.
There we go. LA Clip City said chemistry, leadership, and mental toughness. A lot of other people kind of echoed this. And this is a very legit one to be worried about.
This, I think,
kind of piggybacking off the last thing we talked about.
This, I think, is truly the biggest question facing the team in this offseason. So this is definitely my biggest concern. They need an identity and a real one, not a marketing ploy, that, you know, speaks to the player's strengths, but is also... it's just something that everyone can get on board with. Like, everyone needs to be on the same page. I don't think that locker room was ever really
for sure
clicking, except for, like, there were like spurts of it, you know. We'd see it for a few games, and then it would kind of peter away. And I just think there wasn't a full clarity on what the direction was, and, you know, especially for guys who aren't choir Paul George, like, where they fit into the whole thing, and how Kawhi and Paul George can both make those guys better.
For sure.
And how they can put themselves in position to make things easier for the two stars.
Yeah, which is why the coaching hires, the most important happening in the apparent, you know, very long time for the Clippers.
This is, yeah, the coaching thing is definitely something to be worried about.
At JX Director had a really great take. He was the only person who brought this up, but he was most worried about not being able to go to the games. Everything else is just chatter to me. Old school fans have endured so much. The past 10 years have been wonderful despite the shortcomings. I just want to go to dinner, a game, cheer, and have fun like I have done for decades. Added a Go Clippers at the end. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and that, this goes into at Laundry Shamit, who at one point, after Doc left, posted a thank you Doc Rivers thing, and everyone thought it, including myself, thought it was Landry Shamit's actual account.
That's great.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Great handle. Well played, sir.
Well played. Or Landry Shamit.
Well played person.
There you go. Laundry Jamit. They said, no worries at all because I have lost any expectations.
So this
Which
is where
the Zen way to look at it, right? This is the most.
This is where I'm at.
JX Director's on the same thing. He's like, I just want to have a fun night.
Yes.
Just, you know, whatever happens, it's a good time. Yeah, I think I'm close to this point.
This is where I'm at right now. And the thing is,
I'm not quite levitating, you know, sitting in the classic meditation pose.
Yeah.
But I think I'm close.
I mean, obviously the stakes are high for the season. If we don't make a Western Conference final, I do not see a scenario in which one, if not two, of the superstars are gone. But you can't worry about the playoffs in January at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have fun with this one. And if this is the last year of these two guys together and the kind of, you know, some of the scrappy pieces around them and some of the young guys we're going to develop, hey, man, I'm just along for the ride. Like, I'm going to try to enjoy this season a lot more than I did the last one.
Wasn't that fun to watch?
It wasn't that fun to watch. And I hope that, if nothing else, like, let's say, I don't know, the sky falls, one of the two major dudes gets injured. You know,
we get a
super low seed in the playoffs and get bounced in the first. I don't even care if the on-court product during the regular season is fun to watch.
So you're just completely you're in like a sensory deprivation tank
yes.
when it comes to Clippers.
I am like, I'm dangerously nearing a Jimmy Buffett style level of chill.
Oh no, you're going to be wearing the Clippers Hawaiian shirt.
Clippers Hawaiian shirt,
flip-flops,
yes.
Staples is going to be like, can we see your media pass? And you're like, right here, buddy. And they're like, dude, you gotta
it's just a plastic cup with a margarita in it.
Yeah. And they're like, man, we let you in, but you got to be wearing closed-toed shoes. And you'd be like, well, I don't want to be in this place.
Oh, what? Put on clogs.
Yeah, that's a good call. Dude, that, man, we might have a, Will might need a new nickname next season if you get to the Jimmy Buffett level of Zen. Also would be interesting to hear what Clippers Bro is at.
Yeah.
With their level of Zen. We might have to have Clippers Bro on the show. Who's just Joseph Ward, who hosts the Clipset pod. You guys should listen to it. Yeah, coming up after this, we got kind of an interesting point made by an annoying player from across the hall, as well as some slander. Plus a look at kind of what this offseason is like for these guys. One person in particular is playing quite a lot of basketball. But first, have to give a shout out to Built Bar. They are new and improved. It's even better than it was before. There are 18 nut and non-nut flavors. My favorite of the new is lemon almond cheesecake. It's very good. I also enjoy the carrot cake. But they also have apple almond crisp, cherry barcia, cookies and cream, and caramel brownie. Built Bars are healthy, which is great. They're great for the health-conscious person. Great for the keto diet, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. You know, you can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat, which is fantastic. Right now, if you go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order, which you should check out. Again, great for energy, great for that kind of crash you have in the middle of the day. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. One more time, $10 off with promo code LOCKEDON at builtbar.com.
Okay, so there was some big comments by the heel of the Lakers.
Yes.
Jared Dudley. What did he have to say,
Chuck? Jared Elmer Fudley, as I've now nicknamed him, which I was pretty proud of. He said the Lakers laughed when the Clippers lost, but also said they were looking forward to playing us. He kind of had this weird, like, I hated probably 15% of what this quote is about. But then the other part, he was like, the fans wanted to see Lakers-Clippers. Like, they blew a 3-1 lead. And you're like, God damn it. Like, while the first part is annoying, nothing you're saying is wrong, which is frustrating.
Yes.
But, you know, this is life is pain. We are Clippers fans. But the actual interesting piece from his interview was he said it was clear that the Clippers didn't want to be in the bubble. He didn't blame them at certain times for it. But he made it clear that other teams, like, seem to kind of see the lack of in-bubble enthusiasm. They were one of the teams, supposedly, other than the Lakers, who wanted to, or some players from the teams were considering, you know, stopping playing in support of social justice issues and racism. But I thought that was kind of a telling comment. I don't think he's lying.
Yeah. So, I mean, I spoke to this a little bit in that first segment, but there definitely was a level of fatigue. And I think that compounding with, I mean, just an absolute flurry of unfortunate events occurring.
Yeah.
That,
a series of unfortunate events, one would say.
Hey, that, I mean, like, is so relevant to all these athletes and, you know, even the Clippers personally. You know, had lost family members, lost close, you know, family friends. And
yeah.
So I think that that definitely does weigh on you. And I can imagine the same enthusiasm maybe not being there, especially, I mean, yeah, especially when it's just so much work.
Yeah.
So much work.
And, you know, it's tough to hear these things, but you're just, for what I said in the beginning, which is like, he's not wrong, like, which is difficult. Just hope the talk stops soon.
Yeah.
Right? We're the Clippers. Let us do our figuring it out while we go along thing over here.
Yeah. Also,
guy who didn't play at all in the finals.
He appeared in 9 of the 22 games that they played in the playoffs with an average of 3.4 minutes, averaging 0 points. 0.2 rebounds.
What was his VORP?
0 assists.
What was his VORP? he might be the new Kendrick Perkins. Ugh, we don't need any of that. Moving on to some offseason talk. Trez is still putting in a ton of work in the offseason based off of his IG. He seems to be particularly basically only concerned with his clothing line right now and putting in work on the basketball court, which is good. I feel like it's good Trez has this outlet. It seems like he's been tweeting a lot more about businesses, getting into more of the entrepreneurial spirit.
Yes.
I like seeing the work get put in, though. I hope he's being safe.
Yeah. I mean, he's never wearing a mask in any of these posts, so.
No. That's safe, though. That's not safe. Please wear a mask. But it seems to be kind of a hard split right now with this offseason, right? Like, it's shorter. Possibly. I guess we don't even know when the season's going to start. But it seems like there's a split of, like, guys who were like, I was just in the bubble. I want to see my family. this is tough. Maybe I'll start training camp, you know, maybe a tiny bit later than usual. Their own personal training camps, I'm talking, not the team ones. And then there's guys who are like, yeah, I'm trying to get this, like, get this work on right now.
Yeah, I think both ways make sense. I think that this is going to be like the shortest layover players have had.
Vets after, are hanging out, it seems like.
Yeah, after, I mean, a long layover in the weird mid-season. So I think both, there's value to both things. I don't know, the tread stuff, man, I got to be honest. I think that it makes sense given like what he's going through. I think that he's thinking about life post-basketball, which I always think is valuable for players. But I think that his level of focus was lacking when we saw him return to play in the bubble. And look, I'm not blaming it on these things, but like the
it is the off season.
The reason you're getting put in position to do all these things is because of what you do on the court. So maybe that one should be like your 1A.
I think it's his 1A right now.
Didn't see it.
Okay, well, you also don't have an Instagram. You're not watching these videos like I am. No, but I think maybe during the season, there's a little bit of promo and like the layoff too. It made everything goofy. But Trez also, he's not a guy who's not going to not play, right? Like the reason I think he's so durable is because he plays so much. It's this weird thing where like
definitely
the more play helps him.
And he probably would be playing even more in a regular
right time. Like if there's Drew League and stuff like that, what you're saying is you won't be buying an Underdog brand t-shirt.
No. I'm more of a Big Dog fan.
Yeah, more of the Big Dogs. I hope Trez also just keeps being safe, you know, during these workouts. It just can kind of be, you know, it's just a little crazy out there right now.
Yeah.
No idea what Kawhi or PG is doing. PG seems like he's kind of enjoying life. Truly no idea what Kawhi is doing.
Yeah, you never do. I don't know. I've heard enough about his like workout ethic and stuff, even from other guys who are known for working very hard.
Yeah,
and they're impressed by Kawhi. So I don't know. I hope that he's managing some sort of rehabilitation well to get the body just the rest that it needs. And then, I mean, I'm sure he's in the gym as much as possible.
Yeah, there was the famed San Diego workout with him and and Pat Bev. Anything else in shavings?
Nope. Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here. So, Friday's episode, will we have a new coach? Who knows?
Probably not.
But maybe we're going to be doing a Love, Mary quarantine. Then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, you can find us at Locked On Clips if you want to have some fun on Twitter. Will, where can these people tell their friends to listen to us?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, leave a rating or review. You have to do that on iTunes. I don't know of other sites that... I think Google Podcasts lets you do it too, but hey, we'd love to know what you think of the show. 5 stars, really help us out.
Yeah, we would really appreciate it. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.